everyone. Welcome back to Southern Ghost Stories, where we talk about some of the most haunted places in the South. I'm your host, Chelsea, along with Alan.
Hello.
We hope you enjoyed our last podcast on Maison St. Charles in New Orleans, Louisiana. If you're interested in finding out more information about the inn or other haunted locations around New Orleans, check out our New Orleans Ghost Map app, which allows you to customize your own ghost tour along with our books, Southern Ghost Stories, Historical Hauntings, Ghost of Gallatin, and Haunted Hotels. Today, we're going to mix it up and head out west to talk about the Jerome Grand Hotel in Jerome, Arizona. Alan, can you give us a little background on the Haunted Hotel in the ghost town?
In the 1870s, miners came to Jerome, Arizona to mine the copper in the area. Even though the town is 5,000 feet above sea level, the area's population exploded up to 15,000 people at the turn of the 20th century. And due to the dangerous nature of mining, hospitals were a necessity, and the United Verde Copper Company built one. Unfortunately, due to blasting, the original hospital built in town, it was damaged and deemed to be unsafe.
In 1926, a new 30,000 square foot Spanish mission style hospital was built on a sturdy location on top of Cleopatra Hill, overlooking the entire Verde Valley. The new hospital was fireproof and was considered to be state-of-the-art and thought to be one of the finest hospitals in not just Arizona, but the entire Southwest. The hospital treated not only miners suffering from tuberculosis, but also had a ward for treating children. In 1935, the Phelps Dodge Mining Company bought the hospital, and miners moved on to other parts of the country looking for work. In the 1950s, when the town's population went from 15,000 to less than 100, Jerome literally became a ghost town. The old hospital was shut down and converted into a hotel. However, tourism was basically non-existent, and the Phelps Dodge Mining Company hired a live-in caretaker to keep the building up and keep out vandals. It's not known what exactly happened to the caretaker, but if you believe local lore, he killed himself after spending months alone inside the large building. His badly decomposed body was found dangling from a rope attached to a pipe in an office. It's not known exactly how long he had even been there.
After the caretaker's death, the hotel was boarded up and sat empty for over 40 years, until 1993, when it was bought by a local businessman who thought he could turn the fledgling property around. Due to all the deaths in the old hospital, it's no surprise the Jerome Grand is believed to be haunted. It's thought that approximately 9,000 people died in the building at the height of the mining operation. Room 32 is said to be the most haunted room in the hotel, and it's due to two deaths that occurred there. A middle-aged miner who had been crippled in a mining accident was tired of being confined to a wheelchair. One evening, he rolled himself to the balcony and carefully climbed to the ledge. Vowing to leave his pain behind, he jumped and plummeted to his death. Another man shot himself in room 32. A businessman who lost a lot of money on a business deal checked in one day. Unfortunately, he never checked out.
Room 42 is also a hotbed of paranormal activity and is believed to be in the children's ward of the old hospital. Guests have complained of hearing weird noises, and orbs often show up in pictures. Guests that stay in room 27 have claimed to hear a little girl laughing and other odd noises late at night.
The hospital's old maintenance man, Claude Harvey, is also believed to be haunting the old building. He was found dead, pinned under the hotel's elevator in 1935. While chalked up as an accident, there are rumors that Claude was killed and placed under the elevator to cover things up. An autopsy was never performed because the United Verde Copper Company wanted the death swept under the rug and needed it to disappear from the newspapers. Since his death, the 1926 Otis elevator has been known to go up and down at night. Oftentimes, when someone takes a picture inside the old historic elevator, you will see orbs floating around in them.
A little boy has been spotted playfully running up and down the halls of the third floor. The boy has been known to make noises and sometimes even poke guests lying in bed. He's also been known to move things around in the room while guests are exploring Jerome. Guests have come back to their room finding things like keys and phones in different places, and sometimes even placed right in the middle of the bed. A bearded old man who is thought to be a miner who worked in the area has been spotted on the third floor. He is said to be scruffy and unkept, but he will wander the halls turning lights off as he passes them. Whenever he is approached, he will slowly fade away. People who stay on the third floor often talk of hearing a squeaky gurney rolling down the halls at night. The hotel even installed carpet on the floor, yet the guests kept complaining of hearing the gurney during their stay.
As if a little boy and a hospital gurney aren't creepy enough, guests on the third floor often talk of feeling a ghost cat that rubs against them. It has even been known to crawl in bed with guests and lay across their legs while they're trying to sleep. The fourth floor also has its fair share of strange occurrences too. One night, a front desk clerk received a call from a room on the floor late one night. When they answered, they heard a staticky, panicked voice mumble something. Perplexed at what had just happened, the hotel employee checked the books to see who had checked into the room. To his astonishment, he found that not only had no one checked into the room, no one was even on the floor that night. As he sat there at his desk, the phone rang again. As the clerk slowly raised the phone to his ear, he heard deep, raspy breathing. People staying on the upper floors of the hotel have remarked about hearing a baby cry at odd hours of the night. Strangely enough, it's usually been when the hotel is empty during the off-season.
But the paranormal activity just isn't confined to the third and fourth floors. Guests claim to feel like something is watching them pretty much in the entire hotel. Some have been awakened at night by strange sounds in the hallway. When the guests jump out of bed to see what is going on, they never find anything. Doors in the Jerome Grand have also been known to slowly open and slam shut on their own. Former housekeepers have talked about cleaning a room when all of a sudden it gets icy cold for a few seconds, then they instantly warm up. Some have been working when all of a sudden they will hear someone calling their name from the next room. When they go to see who called them, no one is ever there. Some people have heard coughing, moaning, and loud breathing, while others have smelled cigar smoke and whiskey in different rooms. It's believed that a former nurse from the old hospital is still residing in the hotel. Back in the 1920s and 30s, the staff lived on site. Several guests have claimed to see a lady in white staring at them from the foot of their bed. Could this be one of the nurses coming to check on them during the night?
Chelsea and I visited the Jerome Grand a few years ago after a trip to the Grand Canyon. While we found the hotel to be creepy, nothing was quite as scary as driving up the mountain to the hotel around 10 o'clock at night. The narrow, winding road with only headlights to guide you can be quite ominous. Don't get me wrong, the Jerome Grand is spooky, and the management does a good job at decorating it and has creepy dolls and statues tucked into rocking chairs and nooks and crannies where you aren't expecting to see something. The old elevator is really cool and also pretty fun to ride on.
Oh, the elevator is amazing.
Didn't you say we had an experience there?
Well, you know, it's not that we saw any orbs or heard anything, but I do recall, remember the first room that we went into? They actually had to change our rooms because when we went in, it was so hot and it smelled like sulfur so strong. We were like, we can't stay in here. And then later, after we changed rooms, we were like, wait, maybe it smelled like sulfur for a reason. But I mean, that's not concrete evidence of anything, but it is interesting.
When we stayed in room 32, that was the second room, we didn't really experience anything out of the ordinary. Our camera did die, even though it had a full battery, but other than that, nothing really happened to us. When I asked the front desk clerk about hauntings, she told me that things happen all the time and mentioned something about a guest complaining about hearing people talking down the hallway the night before, but no one else was staying on that floor. Even though I didn't have a really creepy paranormal experience, I'm looking forward to going back one day and staying in the Jerome Grant in the old ghost town. The Jerome Grant is a truly unique place to stay, with spacious green hallways lined with antique grandfather clocks, old paintings, and Victorian-styled furniture. It's pretty creepy. Each room has those wide hospital doors with a window above it that reminds you that you're staying in a place where lots of people died.
Well, and the restaurant is wonderful. It is really great. Well, we hope you enjoyed this episode. Be sure to check out our website, southernghoststories.com, which features our books, Southern Ghost Stories, Historical Hauntings, Ghost of Gallatin, and Haunted Hotels. We also have our Ghost Map app for several of the most haunted cities in the country, available on both iTunes and Google Play. Feel free to leave a comment or send us a message on our Facebook or Instagram accounts. Let us know about any creepy experiences you may have had, even if it's not in the South. We'd love to hear about it. And feel free to give us some ideas on what locations you'd like to hear about on future shows.
Be sure to subscribe and leave a 5-star review. Those reviews are pretty helpful. We really appreciate everyone who's taken a few minutes to do it for us. Please check back with us next time as we talk about Dean Hill in Kempville, Tennessee.
Get into your afternoon voice, not your morning.
My afternoon voice.
You
don't like my Barry White voice? In the 1870s, miners came to Jerome.
Morning voice.
In the 1870s, miners came to Jerome, Arizona.
Should you take a sip of water?
No, I already did. Just let me.
Should you take a sip of water?
Let's get through this.
However, tourism was basically non-existent, and the Phelps Dodge Mining Company hired a live-in caretaker.
You're having a hard time this morning.
No, I'm not. Because I messed up one sentence twice is not a hard time. And if you learn to write a little bit better, I would have known that that was live-in and not...
Live-in?
Well, I hadn't gotten to that word yet.
A middle-aged miner is kind of a contradiction. Like if you're 14 and you're middle-aged.
Some have even been working when all of a sudden they will hear someone calling their name from the next word.
You want me to do this part?
No.
Take 47.
You're being dramatic.